right, I got Reagan here.
All right.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
So
I'm going to let you guys go ahead and talk away.
If you got any questions
for me, just let me know.
Okay. Reagan, the press release Tony sent out says you're a physician's assistant at Sanford Health Clinic in Brookings?
Yep, that's correct.
All right. How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay.
Just turned 30. You say 29 in the article.
Yeah. You just turned 30.
Just turned 30, I know.
Okay. This situation that Tony wrote up in the news release, can you kind of walk me through the timeline on it, when you first met this girl? And I know that this press release spells out some of it, but
right.
I'm interested when you first encountered her.
The release talks about, like, in June in 2008, that's when she had the initial tumor removed in Pakistan. And then we got deployed to the Kabul area around June of this year, about June here of 2010.
Okay.
And we were, you know, as a brigade surgeon cell, we were working for about 2 months before, so it was probably around August. Time frame, and the father, he had come to us, and he was kind of frustrated at the time, but he was asking, you know, he had kind of told us a little history about it, and that she had had the surgery before, but she was still having symptoms now, and that he had been told that she had a recurrent, the tumor was coming back, and that there was nothing that they could do, and that, you know, she was going to eventually die from this, but he was wondering if we had any pain medication that we could help donate. And of course, we kind of started looking into it, you know, before we would give, you know, first of all, I need to review what kind of pain medication to give a pediatric neurological, you know, patient. And we started looking into it, maybe we better make sure that this is a tumor and what the symptoms are. So we did some background checks and got another image done, and found out that it was another tumor, but that we could maybe coordinate somebody else. The doctor, the neurologist from Pakistan, had died like about a year ago. So according to them, they had nowhere else to go. And we ended up talking to some contacts in India and sending the CT scan over there, and they said, you know, we think we can remove it, and that's kind of brought us to, you know, more this time frame.
Okay, so how... How do you have these conversations with Afghan civilians? I mean, is this guy working on the base, or how does that connection get made?
Yes, yep, he's a local national that's hired, you know, by, he's like a worker that actually works at the gym here. It's
okay.
Like the MWR area.
Okay, so that's how he gets in contact with you folks. He works there at the gym.
Correct, yep.
Tell me, the tumor, I mean, is this a benign, malignant, is it, I know that the ones in the brain are blastomas, something
right.
Like
right, right. You know, I wish I could remember, I think hers was a neuroblastoma, and sometimes masses in the brain, I mean, whether they're benign or not, the end result is not good just because there's actually a mass there.
Mm-hmm.
So hers was benign. It was not cancerous, but because of where it was growing, it was putting pressure on one of her ventricles, and where the brain creates cerebral spinal fluid. And eventually it was causing kind of an enlarged mass in that area, and would eventually lead to death. So not the tumor itself was benign, but you put too much pressure on the brain, of course, and that's not a good thing.
And so... Again, without getting too technical, if that mass had gone untreated, how would it have caused her death? What would it have done?
The neurologist who, and we didn't know this until the actual surgery, but the neurologist who did the surgery in India said that, it was a good thing. You know, it would have been probably about 2 to 3 months before she would have probably died from this.
She
was having very mild symptoms. She was having some, you know, headaches and slow reaction time, and some mild memory loss, short-term memory loss. And those symptoms would have gotten worse and then probably led to more severe, such as, you know, seizures and long-term memory loss and stuff.
And the mass would have put some, I mean, how does the mass end up killing her, if it does?
Without getting too technical,
yeah.
It ends up, I mean, just like when you get a concussion and you can get increased pressure of the brain,
mm-hmm.
It ends up squashing it, really. Yeah. It blocks the fluid. You have cerebral spinal fluid that circulates throughout the brain, and this would actually flow the outstruct of it.
I'm sorry.
It'd be like an artery in your body, not, you know, an area that doesn't get blood.
Okay.
To it. And then eventually you'd have tissue death result from that.
Okay. Reagan, this Operation Outreach Afghanistan, who's the organization and the money behind that?
The organization is, I mean, it's a non-Department of Defense volunteer program.
Right.
That, is it just Camp Phoenix? Centralized here?
Pretty much. It pretty much started here at Camp Phoenix, just, you know, service members. I think it started with, I don't know how long ago, but a couple years ago, and then it was continued by a unit from South Carolina who did all the administrative, you know, coordinating the meetings, helping to get donations. And then when we got here, you know, in June time frame, July, we started getting more of our members started getting involved. And eventually we knew they were leaving, so a lot of our people from the 196 volunteered to take over a lot of those, like the, you know, director roles and, you know.
Yeah, I'm the medical.
Almost like a chair.
Right. I guess, you know, I'm the medical liaison for Operation Outreach, and I guess that's the main way that we got in contact.
Okay.
You know, Sephora's dad came to talk to me because of that.
Yeah. What kinds of things does Operation Outreach Afghanistan do? I mean, this is one example. What other kinds of things has it done?
As far as receiving donations for school supplies is kind of one of the main focuses, and then they'll do drop-offs, you know, where we go to local schools and drop off crayons and colors and you name it for them.
Clothing, shoes, blankets for the winter.
This is what Barry Turner was involved in.
Yes. He's our what's his position, secretary?
No, Barry is he takes care of the awards. People that participate in the program, you know, they're able to get, I guess, volunteer credit towards a volunteer humanitarian type of a service medal. So he handles the awards, but I mean, he's involved in, you know, just a lot of the different aspects of, you know, helping to organize some of the days that we have, you know, when we get donations in, when organizations back from South Dakota or the states mail us clothing or school supplies, you know, separating those out, putting them into, you know, bins.
Right.
So when we go to have a mission, you know, they're all packaged up. He helps to do some of that coordination.
Sure. How many medical type situations like this has that organization got involved in?
There's about, when I took over as medical liaison, we had about 12 kids that we are working on right now.
And doing what?
It ranges from a lot of majority of them are actually cardiac issues, heart issues, and we work through other organizations, try to do some coordination through nonprofits like there's a Baby Heart,
mm-hmm.
and there's a couple other organizations out there, and they usually have some congenital issue with their heart, and that we know that they won't be able to survive past a certain number of years, and we try to get that surgically corrected.
Mm-hmm.
There's another boy that had a similar issue, and he had that fixed. I think he went to Florida and had it fixed there.
Mm-hmm.
Sephora, hers was unique. I mean, their neurological one's the only one we have. And the good thing about her, it was a good success story because you know, she was surely going to die with the current prognosis. And it just seemed like everything worked out good and got taken care of in just in the nick of time. So
yeah. And so some of these kids that you've worked with, the cardiac, I mean, a number of them have come over to the United States?
Yep.
Okay. Some of them, I forget, do they end up in a hospital in Pakistan or?
No, most of them, it depends on where the specialty doc is for them. The cardiac, and it's because of the Baby Heart, the organization we use, they fly into the United States and have American doctors do the surgery.
Okay. Baby Heart is just like it sounds, B-A-B-Y space H-E-A-R-T.
Yep.
And it's a, how do I describe that organization?
It's another nonprofit organization that helps, specifically helps patients in Afghanistan.
Okay. All right. Ishmael, is that his name? Mohammed, the father?
Yep.
He was basically asking you to help ease his daughter's pain. He was ready for her to die. He just wanted her to be comfortable. Is that where he was at when he contacted
you? Yeah.
You get that's got to be emotional or poignant or whatever when you're dealing with a father who's trying to do that for his daughter.
Yes. Yeah, that was tough.
And were you immediately able to steer him away from that and say, hey, let's maybe there's more we can do here?
I knew he had been working on this for a couple of years at this point, and we didn't want to give false hope, you know. But at the same time, I wanted to make sure that everything had been done correctly, and that, you know, sometimes different symptoms can present differently, and things that were one reason a year ago maybe have changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, with the language barrier here, you know, they had talked to some French physicians, and you know, they speak Dari, and I just wanted to make sure that we all understood, you know, exactly what her condition was, and that's why we decided to re-image her.
Mm-hmm.
And have her be seen by another neurologist.
So where did you do the re-imaging at?
We did the re-imaging over at
it was a NATO hospital on New Cabo.
Yeah, so it's a French-run NATO hospital. Is that how do you describe it? Just at the airport in Kabul.
Yeah, there's an area at the airport in Kabul that's portion of it is run by NATO,
mm-hmm.
and they have a French. It's ran by French. Mainly French forces, but they have limited services over there. But
they do have CT scans, so we had that image done there, and then we had the neurologist. We sent it to India and had them read it there.
Mm-hmm. And they read it and said, "Hey, you know, we might be able to do something here."
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that Colonel Kumar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kumar,
He apparently just got back to Rapid City yesterday or today or something like that.
Yeah, I think yesterday. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he had a connection in India?
Yeah, I think it was a cousin of his that...
his cousin is a contractor... he has just a lot of contacts back there in India, so Colonel Kumar contacted him, asked him if he knew of anybody or had some contacts that might be able to put him in touch
mm-hmm.
with, a neurosurgeon or a specialist to see if they could, you know, take a look at the scan and see if there was anything that they could do. I think that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. And they said there was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says in the press release here that, let's see. Well, I guess what I'm interested in is there's a certain cost to all this. And in the release, Tony, I think, suggests that the costs for that are somehow arranged for by you folks there in this operation outreach? Or
The other part of Operation Outreach is we are able to raise some funds. I mean, we have little collection boxes around Camp Phoenix. When soldiers go to the post exchange and they buy something, the APs, you know, you get POGs in return for your cash. So you don't get change here. They have little POGs, they call them. So 5, 10, 25 cent denominations. And so we have these little boxes, and we ask people to donate their POG change to the program. And so we'll generate a lot of funds from these donations. Some people throw in cash. In Sephora's case, you know, over the, you know, the course of the past year, we've been able to raise, you know, about $8,000 or $9,000 towards the program. In Sephora's case, to help pay for a little bit of the costs associated with like the CT or the scan that was done at the NATO hospital and whatnot, we were able to pay for some of that. But a lot of the funds, like the plane ticket and the costs associated over in India with the university hospital there, you know, was mainly paid for by Kumar and Norgard.
Really?
The Operation Outreach, you know, like we paid some of that to try to help reimburse their costs. I mean, we don't have a lot of money, and a lot of the other funds that we raise go towards, you know, purchasing blankets and some of those other items that we try to get for the local Afghans in the villages and the schools and orphanages. But the plane ticket and the surgery over in India was predominantly paid for by these two gentlemen.
We knew, I mean, I know what we have for funds, so understanding that, as important as this is, you know, this one child could drain all of the money in Operation Outreach, mm-hmm. and it's difficult to be multitasking and working on, you know, 12 kids. Mm-hmm. So to keep that momentum kind of going, you know, Colonel Kumar and I, plus there was kind of a gamble with this. We didn't know if, you know, if this would be the case where we could re-image her and if the surgery would be successful and all that. And because of that reason, you know, Colonel Kumar and I talked about this would probably be a good thing for him and I to donate our money and would be a really good cause. So we decided to do that.
You know,
and
I was going to say, I just had knee surgery, arthroscopic knee surgery here at Sanford. I got to believe that that a brain surgery like this, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars, six figures or no?
I don't know the total exactly. Part of it helped with the contacts in India. That helped, with a main portion of the bill. And then we shopped around for cheaper plane tickets. And
So they wrote off some of the bill in India, I don't know if it was a charity type situation or.
No, it wasn't charity. I mean, Colonel Kumar and I, you know, forked the bill, but the money part wasn't important. I mean, the main reason was to, you know, get her taken care of, and we felt that would be a really good contribution. So,
bottom line, Steve, you know, and Reagan probably doesn't want me to say this, but first of all, let me just say that, one, these guys never asked Operation Outreach to pay for any part of helping Sephora. Basically, out of the kindness of their two hearts, they said, you know what, we got to do something for this little girl. So they took it upon themselves to, one, do the research, do the coordination, and then pay for it themselves. You know, it's not any part of our mission over here to help Afghan citizens in this sort of a capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys did it anyway because you know, they're just great American. They're great human beings, and they wanted to do something. They didn't want to see this little girl, you know, die. She was essentially going to die, and they didn't have to do anything, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's just a testament to, you know, the both of them and the kind of people that they are. And we in Operation Outreach say, you know what, we got to do something. We, you know, we got to give them some sort of financial support. And it was only a fraction of what the cost was, because obviously we don't have a whole lot of money to give. But we wanted to give them something so they didn't have to incur all of the expense. But
sure. But I guess, and I'm not going to ask how much the gentleman paid, but I mean, if you were to pay out of your pocket for such an operation here, again, we'd be talking about tens of thousands, maybe even more for something like this. The two of you got some help from Operation Outreach. I'm assuming there was some kind of, you know, the cheap plane ticket and all that. You didn't have to pay what a person here might pay if they didn't have insurance and had to pay the full cost over here in America.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Reagan,
let's put it this way. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, obviously in America, things are a little bit more expensive, and, you know, going through India, which they went through, it was still like the best, I think, university hospital in the country, one of the best neurosurgeons, and I mean, it wasn't as expensive as it would have been in America, but it still wasn't cheap by any means. So.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about Sephora. What is she like? I mean, quiet. Give me a sense of.
Yeah, she's a very, very quiet girl. You know, the culture over here, of course, where females. I mean, even medically, when we treat patients, you know, we need the parents' permission to treat the women here.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the answer is no. You know, they want a female physician to work on them. And so it was very difficult. You know, I think that was part of it too, where the father, you know, was fine with us, you know, examining her and talking to her. And she was definitely very shy, very quiet. And the poor girl, I mean, she's been through, you know, one surgery already. And I can't imagine, her symptoms are only what she could tell me. I can't imagine what it's actually is like to go through with the short-term memory loss and, some of the dizziness and some of the headaches, you know, how severe they really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can only guess, so.
But
very sweet girl. Her school skills were kind of decreasing, and they kind of leveled off recently, but she used to be very, very smart, you know, ahead of her class.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping now that after the surgery, it seems like
Hello.
And regain some of that.
Reagan, I'm sorry. The phone cut out there. You said she used to be very smart, ahead of her class. We're hoping, and then it cut out on me.
We're hoping that with the surgery, as successful as it was, that she'll regain all of her, you know, brain capacity and be able to get back up to the level that she was before.
And do you have a sense? I mean, have you worked with the Afghan people enough to know, okay, we've saved this girl, her prognosis is good? I mean, what's her future in Afghanistan?
What's her future or what's
yeah.
her future?
No, what's her future?
What's her future? I think she's gonna grow up and, you know, live a long and a wonderful life, and I think she'll be one of the, hopefully, the youth that we're working with here. You know, they're the leaders of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that reflects when they understand what we try to do for their country and, you know, keeping the whole world safe.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you, I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I understand in visiting with different people that there's a certain segment of the Afghanistan population that's happy we're there. There's a certain segment that isn't, that you fight the issue of bombs and guns going off and civilians getting killed and Afghans getting angry over that. Do you have a sense at all, I mean, in the kinds of things you're doing with Operation Outreach, that you're making a connection with the Afghanistan people that's maybe helping to stem some of that anger from the, you know, the bombings or the civilians get killed? Or
definitely. I think Sephora was initially brought to Operation Outreach because they had found out, they had heard of another child who was helped with Operation Outreach, and that's what initially back in before 2008 even got them affiliated with the group. And I think the main thing is education and good communication. I mean, the same problem that we have everywhere in the world. And once the Afghans, you know, the locals understand what we're doing and they can sit down and talk to us and they realize that we're there to help, that we truly are there, you know, for good reasons, I think that infects, you know, the rest of the local nationals, and they all talk. And you know, the more we do that's good, the better, because I think they'll just keep talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you seen Sephora since she got back?
I have.
And she has been back. I forget, it says in here the surgery was in October 29th. Okay. So she's been back roughly, I don't know, how soon did she come back? Has she been back for 4 weeks? Or?
Let me think here. She must have been back for... She's probably been back for about 5 weeks. She was doing so well in the hospital because initially they were going to say that she had to stay there for 3 weeks, but she did so well that they actually released her early.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's been back about 5 weeks.
And you've seen her once, twice? Or?
Yeah, I've seen her once, and then I actually went on leave, but I've been gone for the last 4 weeks.
Okay. And when you saw her, I mean, she was in bed, or, I mean, she recognized you, or, I mean, was she able to?
Yep, she recognized me, and she actually, ironically, was a little more smiling. I mean, she, you know, not as shy as she was before.
Huh.
Part of it, you know, her head is shaven, you know, now, of course. So I think that's hard for her to be around people and stuff. So hopefully, as time goes and everything heals, that'll help as well.
Mm-hmm.
But she seemed energetic and happy, and I think she understands what's going on.
And her father, what has he said to you, anything? Or?
Her father is delighted. He's never been happier. He, you know, even when he had the bad news that he thought that she wouldn't survive, and he was seeking the pain medications, in order to pay for the pain medication, he was looking at selling his house.
Hmm.
And I had asked some other people, I'm like, you know, how much money does he have, you know, in comparison to a local national, and they said he doesn't have any money. You know, he's willing to sell his house and all his belongings just to, you know, help us. That's quite a bit too, and that's another one of the reasons that we really fought so hard to help her out.
Hmm. Okay. Where in India was the surgery done? Was it in New Delhi or about?
You know what? I don't know.
Okay.
Southern India, I know that. Dr. Kumar never specified the city.
Okay. Before I let you go, I mean, it sounds, Reagan, like it was important for you to do this. I mean, now that it's done, give me a sense of what it means to you to have been able to participate in this.
I mean, great. You know, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, spending money on anything better. And as far as the coordination aspect of it, it just makes me want to work harder to help more kids because, you know, sometimes the quick answer isn't necessarily the right one. And I think sometimes just a little, you know, a little sweat and hard work and we can save more people over here. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You, and I should know this, are you coming back the same time Barry Turner's coming back?
Yes.
So I forget to tell
you. I better be, unless Turner knows something I don't. He's checking out early.
Well, I know he's supposed to be coming. He's coming back in a week or so to see his wife and kids.
Oh, no, he's going home on leave. So
right,
no,
right. But I was trying to remember, is it May or something when you're due to come back? Or?
About, I think it's April 15th still. We should be back about right in the beginning of May. We don't have a definite date, but
okay,
beginning of May.
Sometime this spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Well, I have kept you long enough. Is there anything else you want to add before I let you go?
I don't think so. No.
All right. I appreciate you guys calling me.
All